tablets. My life depends on this. Sorry, this is not really a good intro. But I couldn't get the internet today when I was down there, and I thought, I can't get my notes. What am I going to do? I'll have to preach from the actual Bible. oh, my goodness. Who would have thought? Cool. Let's pray. I think prayer is always a good place to start, because settles my nerves anyway. Father, I commit tonight to you, and look, I know we've all made it, you know, everyone's made an effort, and ultimately we've actually sacrificed our time to be here tonight. And Father, but I know that won't return void. Father, we know you're not mocked, that where we put something into you, you actually do return it. Where we sow, there's a reaping. And so, Father, I do pray that tonight over everybody here, that there's something out of tonight they'll get, whether it's just hanging in that worship time or whether there's a word that's just a word in season. Father, but everyone would reap something out of tonight. It's not a wasted time, Father, and it never is when we come into your presence. And so, Father, I pray that whatever the door is, whatever people need to hear tonight, in whatever form that comes, Father, that word would go into everybody here tonight, that they wouldn't leave this place the same as they came in, Father. Amen. Hey, cool. Oh, my notes are all over the place and batteries are going flat, so I've got multiple devices, backups. It's a crazy world. Hey. Hi. What's the date today? Yeah, it's Friday the 13th. Yeah, spooky, eh? I don't know why. People, Friday the 13th, I actually find it quite funny that it's Friday the 13th. So I looked up some facts. I'm just sharing these with you because I thought they were interesting. Fear of the number 13 is called, actually, does anyone know? Yeah, 13 phobia, yeah, exactly, but in Greek, exactly what it is. Triskaidekaphobia, there you go. Fear of Friday the 13th is, oh, here we go, paraskevadekatriaphobia. That's from the Greek, paraskeva for Friday. Or, this one I thought was good, frigatreskadidekaphobia, after the Norse god Frigg, after whom Friday is named. Go on, turn to the person next to you and just go, Frigg. Because that's probably the only time in church you'll ever get to say that in a valid way. Weird. Hey, there's no agreed upon origin for the superstitious belief of Friday the 13th being unlucky. It didn't appear in literature until the 19th century. Most people agree it's just a combination of people thinking Friday's unlucky and 13's unlucky, although there's all sorts of reasons people think of that. One suggestion is a Christian one, saying that the Last Supper had 13 people and Jesus died on a Friday. Oh, yeah. I think that's just reading too much into it, but you know. different cultures actually consider other days unlucky. Spanish-speaking countries often cite Tuesday the 13th as unlucky. So there you go. Yeah, ooh, Tuesday. Yeah. Italian pop culture, Friday the 17th. I don't know why. I didn't really look that up. Here's a scary fact, though. Up to 21 million people in the United States are affected by a fear of Friday the 13th, which results in an estimated business loss of up to $900 million. You've got to be kidding me. And that's just scary. That's fair. That is actually the price of fear, isn't it? There's a cost to it. And that's silly that your life would be ruled by it that much. You know what God says about it? He says there's two things you should fear, isn't it? Fear God and fear not. Everything else you can chuck out. So repeat after me. Fear God and fear not. That just can everything else. Now, that's all good for me to say, but I've got this picture up here. Of some spiders. Yeah. So about a month ago, I was in Beijing, went out to dinner with some guys, and we went down these malls. It's huge. Anyone's been to Beijing, there's a street there that has all these food stalls. And there's up the top left is spiders, three spiders on a stick. And next to that is silkworms, the little cocoons. Down the bottom's millipedes, and that's more spiders on the right. And just next door to that was scorpions as well, and snakes and other stuff. And I really don't like spiders, so yeah. But I thought I should face my fear and have one. Yeah. Although I don't know if facing your fear means eating it, but I've got to give it a go one day. Anyway, just to get a picture of a spider in my mouth with its fangs out. Oh, got to do it. Anyway. A friend of mine described the spider. He says it's like eating the crispy bits of chicken wings, except for the spider's butt, the big butt at the end. He goes, it's like an explosion of coconut cream. So, has anyone eaten a spider? I was just curious. That's cool. It's a good Hamish and Andy episode where they did. Anyway. Okay, let me move on. Right. So, speaking of Friday the 13th, I thought, hey, we've got all these different things. Zombies, vampires, and all of that. Have you noticed how many zombie movies there are? Like, is it... Well, what would you call enough? Just endless? I went and did a search just before. As in movies, 645 zombie movies have been made. 204 were made from 1920, the first kind of one they thought was zombie movie, to 1999. The remaining 443 were in the last, wait for it, 13 years. That's scary though. 443 in the last 13 years. Awesome. We have a morbid fascination of dead things, don't we? Which I suspect is probably because we all have to face death at some point. We can't get away from it, and we probably want to cheat it. The nice thing is, as a Christian, you only have to face it once, isn't it? It's what does it say? For every man, you should be born twice to die once, isn't it? Yeah, which is kind of an awesome thing. You don't want to face that second death that's spoken in Revelation. That's all a bit deep, so I won't get onto it. So I want to talk about zombies in the Bible tonight, and... Yeah, well, I was going to be a big surprise, but Jordan stole my passage. Ezekiel 37. That was awesome. See, it means it's a God thing. So I want to read Ezekiel 37, and that was that passage. Jordan read the kind of a verse in the middle of it, and that song, Awake My Soul, is all about that. And there's a lot of things in that story, and I simply just want to go through it. I've got 4 points, really, just to keep this short. I've taken up half my time just introing. So let's go through it. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, says, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very dry." First point is this. The bones were in a valley. Valleys are these places. They're dry, they're dangerous, if you think about traveling through them in the old days. And the thing is this, if you stop in a valley, chances are you're going to die. And in life, there's a lot of valleys. And quite often the problem we have is that we stop in those valleys, we stop in those times and we're going through something hard. And that's actually the place where you'll die. We were never designed to stop there. Psalm 23 says, "Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death," it was never a place where you're meant to stay. You go through these valleys. And God will lead you through these valleys. In fact, I actually think it was probably harder being a Christian because God leads you through these valleys. The point is this, though, is where is he leading you? Even in Psalm 23, he says, "He leads me to green pastures. He leads me to still waters." The place he's leading you is actually worth it. But you've got to go through these valleys. And if we don't do that, we just don't get to the still waters. And I really was thinking about it. I thought, yeah, as a Christian, it kind of sucks at times, doesn't it? And not life, I mean God. but God leads you through these valleys. And you think, I just don't need this. But there's something on the other side of that that you would never have got to if you didn't go through the valleys. I'm sure Nigel and Andrew will tell you there's been some horrible valleys to get through for this building, isn't there? No, I've seen some of them, some I wouldn't even know about. But there's been some horrible valleys, but it's worth it, isn't it, at the other end of it. So my point on that one is be aware of where we are, but keep a focus on where we're going. All right? Always keep your eyes on where we're going. Where is God leading us? And that point where we stop looking ahead where we're going and looking down is the danger point. Reading on. So verse 3. "And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know." Smart answer to God's question, isn't it? God asks you a question, just, yeah. I actually reckon if you don't have the faith to answer as you know you should, just be silent. Just don't speak something not in faith. Oh God, you know. That's not even a point. I'll just stop there. Verse 4, "Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you. and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. My second point is this, prophesy. We need to speak to situations in our lives. Often we pray to God, and I'll do this all the time, pray to God, 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 come in, change the situations, change the circumstance. I actually think most of the time God's answer to us is you prophesy to the situation. You speak the word of God over it. And, you know, in this one, Ezekiel, in fact, Addie, come here. This is what it's like. It's like saying, actually, it's just a zombie. No, that was your dad, man. Yeah, it's rough, isn't it? So Addie heard me then. I said, listen, come up here. Cop back down. It's pretty easy. I was just talking to him. But stay there. If I said this, just get up on the stage, you know, not a lot is happening with Addie because I'm not speaking to the actual thing I want moved. Not thing, the zombie person. Yeah. So we need to, thanks, man. We need to speak to the situation, speak to it directly. And we need to speak the word of God over it, don't we? We need to prophesy promises of God over our situations. You know, if you need healing in your life, you speak the word of God over it. You know, by his stripes we're healed. If you need financial situation moved, start speaking the promises of God over it, you know. My God shall supply all our needs. If you're facing difficult situations, speak the word of God over it, you know. All things work together for good. If you're facing problems in your marriage, speak the word of God over it, you know. You've got to speak the word of God. And speak it, and speak it, and speak it. This thing, you've really got to speak it. You've got to bash it into a situation. I'm picking on you. But you've got to bash it into these things, all right. It's no good if we're not speaking it. And sorry, Eddie, I'm feeling guilty. I'm bashing you now. the Word of God, is probably some people probably cringe then I was bashing my Bible around. And at the end of the messages from my wife, you know, this is just a book. But sometimes we're also precious. You know, we get precious about the Bible itself, but it's just paper with words on it at the end of the day. But those words are very important. But I actually think sometimes we get precious about the actual words themselves. We get so careful and holy about when we speak those words. And, you know, this is the sword of the Spirit, isn't it? That's what the Bible says. What's a sword designed for? It's designed to get stuck inside someone, isn't it? It's actually designed to kill someone. It's designed to go in. It's not designed to be shiny and clean. It's designed to do a job. This is designed to get dirty. These words, and you need to speak them into situations and not be afraid to speak it out into whatever situation it is. Speak the word of God over it, because that's where the impact is. It's designed to go in to kill something that needs to be killed. And there's a two-edged sword. It's designed to heal in that as well. Yeah, cool. So, moving on. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them. My third point is this, putting things together. God will put things together in our lives. And so the bones came together. And if we run the analogy, bones are like a structure to our bodies, aren't they? They're a structure that's there. And you think of structure in our lives, just putting plans together. We actually need plans and structures to our lives. We need a regular routine. We need to get up in the morning. We need to pray. Here's the thing, though. Has anyone seen a skeleton on its own? I hope not. Well, probably the medical students. But a skeleton actually won't stand on its own, will it? Or fall apart. And so we need those sinews, and those muscles need to be attached to it. They're the things that hold it together. They're the things that move the bones. And the things that moves our plans are visions and dreams. We need those in our lives as well to actually move our plans. You know, a plan without a vision is just going to die. It's just going to fall apart. We need those visions. You know, we need to put I was thinking about is putting meat onto them as well, you know, the whole idea of flesh and support to the muscles. Just like people around us, we need that support, something to feed those muscles. We need those relationships with other people. And we need skin. There was skin that came around it all and it covered it and protected it. And that's just like going to church, I'm telling you. It's actually like being in the presence of God and hanging there. We need that time with God because it protects us. And so we need all these things put together and they'll actually form a body, a person, or a plan, or something that you're doing. Verse 8, indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. You know, after this amazing miracle of bones coming together and flesh appearing on them, they're still simply empty corpses. Zombies. Yeah. Got my zombies in there. Seriously, a body that has no breath in it is still worthless. All of that. And before the breath was put into it, it was simply a giant, miraculous, all the same, but it was simply a giant, miraculous gathering of meat, really, wasn't it? All standing there. But after the breath came into it, it was an exceedingly great army that could actually do something. That breath is so important. And I'm sure we've all had this in our lives, that we have, I just all the time, well, it happens to me, that you do everything right. And I'm not saying, get what I'm saying? It's not that you've done anything wrong. You've actually done everything right. You're doing the hard yards. You're spending time with God. You've got the plans, everything right. But something's still dead in what you're doing. And it's because there needs to be this breath of life. There's an extra little God factor that needs to be into it. And I think often we prophesy to situations and see amazing miracles happen, but then we stop speaking to it when God actually still wants to breathe a life into it as well. There's something more. You know, we could prophesy over the music team that there'd be, you know, some amazing, well, already amazing, actually flipping fantastic tonight, but there was you know, some amazing musicians come and we got all sorts of different instruments and, you know, and everyone was just the best in the world at what they did. You know what? That would probably still fail because it needs that breath of God in it. It's a God factor. And I have been in bands. I've seen Christians. I've been in churches where I've played in bands and you're talking top-of-the-line musicians who are spirit-filled, who are going for God, but it's actually something dead about what they did. It's because as a whole, there was no breath in it. There was nothing, that God factor was missing. And that's the thing we need, is that God factor. And so I think that's the same for our lives. Lost my notes. Who cares? That we have these situations, and it's just life where we do things. And, you know, marriages is probably a great example. You go on for years and years, but at some point, you know, sometimes it's just that point where you think, nothing's wrong, but it needs that spark in it, needs that breath in it. Or we get so involved in running youth or something, I don't know, sorry, not picking you for any reason, but we're running youth, you know, and it's just like, oh, just going through the motions. Nothing's actually wrong, we're not doing anything wrong, but it needs that breath in it. It needs that breath to be breathed into it. And so, I mean, I'm about to sum up. Hey, nailing this. And so if we're existing from day to day, this is the thing, God can breathe life into us. Actually, I'll get music team back up. Was that for a short break? Actually, I'll get singers as well. That's cool. Can we do Awake My Soul again? Yeah. Change of plans. So I want to end this just as these guys. Can we stand up? Because, yeah, that'd be good. But just as we end this, I know it's a really short message, but I just want us to spend that time. If there's something in our lives where we're thinking, you know what, I need that touch from God, this is the place. It's that place where we can just say, God, I need that breath in this situation. And as I said, it's not about something that's gone wrong. It's just about it needs that breath that's put into it. It needs something that's alive in it. We should be walking around, you know, when people are around us, they should be feeling alive. There should be something about us that's just alive all the time. You know, and that's that God factor in our lives. And so as these guys just sing out, I just want to say, look, let's just close our eyes and just think, focus on God. I'm sure all of us have those situations where we think we need that breath of God to come in. Father, I just pray tonight. Let's just raise our hands. Holy God, Father, I just pray tonight, just as we stand in your presence, Father, there's no better place to be, no place we'd rather be, Father, than in your presence. And Father, I pray tonight, just as we stand here, that there'd be a breath that comes on us, Father, a breath of life, something that's just sparking our lives, Father God. I just speak life over everybody here tonight, Father. I prophesy life over everybody tonight, Father. I just prophesy that life, that something is going to bring those bones together, Father. It's going to make them move, Father God. An exceedingly great army, Father. We have your breath inside us, Father. That's when we can do exceedingly great things. Without you and nothing, we just meet. But with you, exceedingly great army, Father God. Holy God.